So, Krishna, I would like to welcome all of you affectionately to this program. There's a gala coming. Thank you so much, Krishna. Good. So, good to see everyone. Very pleasantly surprised yesterday with our Amsterdam Kirtan Mela. I had not expected such a devotional atmosphere, such a focused atmosphere, such a, let us say, full an atmosphere where the devotees were fully participating. And I think perhaps all of us have had our moments where we felt closer to Krishna and closer to the holy name. Let me, before I continue, say, is this loud enough for all of you? We can perhaps make it a little louder. Yes, I also feel those who are in the back will benefit more. Krishna, 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 Krishna. You're going to put a loudspeaker there? Facebook Live. Facebook Live, good. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna.
There may be some volume control in this message. Let's.
In here? Yes, maybe here?
To say louder,
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. I can also speak louder if that helps.
We will stick with the host.
But speaking can be done louder. Let us first settle this up so that we then are undisturbed. What were some of your impressions, if you have to say it in one sentence, of yesterday's event?
From tears. The path of tears.
Path of tears, that's how
something stuck out.
Yes. Yes.
Krishna really, is waiting for us to come out of our shell and give ourselves fully.
Yes, so that he has a possibility to come to us. Yes. Anything else? Yes?
The church sets a really nice atmosphere, even though it's not a functioning church now.
Yeah.
And, I felt like it was really, I've been to a lot of kirtan melas, and it was very devotional yesterday.
Yes, yes, yes. The church provided an atmosphere where this was a good frame for the picture which we put in. Yes.
Blissful.
Blissful. Oh my God, we are back with full sound. Yes.
If you move the mic a bit
towards the.
Yes.
Oh my God, now we are really loud. Yes. Anyone else? Yes.
My senses were really satisfied.
Senses were satisfied.
My senses were really satisfied.
You had no desire or craving afterwards.
Oh yeah, coming today.
Coming today. The old Maya's back. Yes. This is something I want to address. When Dhritarashtra, he had heard many advices. If you want, many peak moments in his spiritual life. But he once said that, although I had these peak moments, I have slipped back into my old life. The way he expressed it, O Vasudev, your words are like lightning that dispel the dark night in which I am. But alas, when you are gone, the dark night is back again. we all know that, yes, during such moments or during such programs like the Kirtan Mela yesterday or many other, maybe a good lecture, maybe a good Harinam Sankirtan, all of a sudden we feel as if a lightning has entered our heart and the darkness is gone. But then when the event is gone, when the lightning goes, there it is, the same darkness. And I have seen in our movement many devotees wondering where they are going. They have these peak moments, these they're called epiphanies, but they come back to the normal life again. Therefore, I've discussed with devotees, and I will invite devotees to come with me into the desert in September, the desert of Jordan, where we will have a retreat called The Art of Real Transformation. We will not leave the desert without substantial changes. I myself will go there and I request a jeep to put me into the desert and chant the whole day. And the only one who's with me during this time will be the Tamas. I really feel we have to come to substantial advancement, and I hope to serve you in this workshop with some clues perhaps, some ideas that you pick up, so that also outside these spiritual events you can nourish your spirituality, you can break through the clouds which are covering us, you can come to what Prabhupada calls above the clouds, where you meet the sun, away from the darkness under the clouds. And so, good, thank you, thank you. You have spoken what is the experience of many of us. Any other impressions from yesterday which you feel comfortable to share here? I saw that you first.
For me, it felt like it was the most premium train to Goloka in like a first class cabin, but I entered illegally. I mean, like, I didn't have the qualification, but everyone was so kind to open up transcendental vibrations.
Wow, you were on the train. You got your seat in the first class cabin, yes. Those who don't know what our Mataji is referring to is shared His Holiness Kadamba Kanana Maharaj impression of Kirtan. He said, I have booked my train ticket. I am now in the Kirtan. And the Kirtan is like that train which will bring me to Goloka Vrindavan. And we always I think that's a very nice description of the Vastu Shakti of the Holy Name, that is the inherent potency of the Holy Name, which takes a conditioned soul from where he is now to the place where he is not yet, where he wishes to go. And it has this quality, like time has the quality to move things forward. Fire has the inherent Vastu Shakti of burning and giving light. The Holy Name has also a Vastu Shakti that is to bring us to Krishna. That's very wonderful. Good. Any other impressions before we start? Yes? You felt like in the Loka Vrindavan, you have some distinct memories of when you were there and you could identify the feeling.
I felt like a little
wonderful. I congratulate you. Wonderful. Yes. 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 Good. Yes. What is it? Our men are not able to speak this one. There is some shyness blocking your tongues. Yes, what is it? Wow, you were sitting in the window and looking towards Vrindavan. I hope you know what is Vrindavan, so that what you speak is substantial. Mm-hmm. But I assume you know. Good. Yes.
I feel that I experience the power of association.
Yes, the power of association. Yes. Mm-hmm. Let me comment on one point which Prabhu said, the power of association. Ramanujacharya says, if all sadhanas fail you, that is, none of the sadhanas has worked for you. None. Chanting has not really worked. Reading the Bhagavatam has not worked. Yes, you have gone to a holy place, but you came back and slipped back into your old habits. None of the sadhanas has worked. There is still one sadhana which will work 100%, and that is associating with devotees. He doesn't speak of association where you exchange Twitter news, what Donald Trump posted or so on. He refers to what devotees do. In the Gita they say, Matsita, what was it? Just now I forgot, but they remind each other of Krishna with great determination. They follow the path. This type of association is extremely elevating. And therefore these Kirtan Melas are necessary for us, because at that Kirtan Mela we do by default. We cannot do anything else except we run out of the hall. We can do a few things, but not even so many things. But in the Kirtan Mela, what is there? The holy name is there, the association of devotees. There should be some Krishna Katha, some talk about Krishna, to remind us of the person whose name we chant. Yes, and the deities are there, should be always, the Lord should be there, either at a deity or at an image. So Panchanga Bhakti is there going on in a Kirtan Mela if it's nicely arranged. No? Good. Prasadam is taken, everything. Good, so there could be more statements. I think we close. Yes, one very urgent. Yes, you are a man. Your qualification is there, yes.
This is material thinking. I'm a man. I know that I'm a soul. But the result of yesterday is that the Maha Mantra goes into my head. And I heard it constantly in my head. I think that is the result of the Kirtan,
yes,
from yesterday.
Yes, goes into your head and heart and soul. Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Everyone said such elevated things, but on the other hand, I also feel that they say when there's a force, you don't see any weeds, but when the garden is nicely trimmed, then you see the weeds.
Yeah.
And yes, yeah, I saw my own weeds.
Yeah.
Because the environment was so pure, like a nicely trimmed garden, that I also felt my own limitation.
Yeah. that feeling of grief sink in a little deeper. Let us not run away from this grief. This grief is good. When we see our limitations, it's chastening and necessary for our further advancement. Yes, let the wound open a little bit more, because it is then through this opening in our ego that the light of Krishna consciousness can come in. Cracks are good when they are on the ego, because then the light can come in of Krishna consciousness. We run away from these cracks, but we should stay with them. Good. I'm very happy to hear this. I would like to now start, just for you to know, we have, I should have this time here, because now this is my favorite subject matter. We will go up till 1 o'clock.
Sorry, lunch is delayed.
Yes.
So lunch is at 2. So your session can go up till 1 maybe, and then you have some kirtans for
us. Yes, up to, but yes. Okay, so we will have 1 hour and 10 minutes, just for you to know. I will make it as easy as possible with active exercises. I will tell also jokes. In London I have learned to do this, to enrich my lectures with jokes so that no one is bored. Do my best, but I require your full cooperation, because the subject matter is delicious. It's very important. Guru. Guru Maharaj, who can say I've never tried? All those mantras I've chanted, all those vows, all those pilgrimages, my sacrifice and service, cold showers. What to speak of persistently ignoring the requests of my mind and senses to do what is most dear to them. Guru Maharaj, the result? Nothing! All this has brought me to where I am at present. Silent desperation or weak compromises. Guru Maharaj, the old emptiness in my heart has only become greater. The Guru replies, it seems you have done your best to come before the divine couple. But have you ever tried to act in such a way that they can come to you? Have you built your road for them? The road of tears. Disciple. The road of tears? What tears? My child, the tears of the soul. There are different kinds of tears. Body tears, when we cry in physical pain. Mind tears, when we cry, when we are emotionally hurt. And sweet tears that come from the soul, that awakens to its only real need. The need to enter into the one relationship. Where can I find this road? Well, my child, this road of tears can't be found on any map. Google will not give you this map. The starting point of this road is your own heart. This road, when you start building this, becomes so attractive to the divine couple that they cannot even imagine ignoring you. Just if someone begins to build that first centimeter of the road, Radha Krishna feel they must now come before you. The disciple, Guru Maharaj, do I need many tears to build this road? I have cried all my tears for other things. I'm completely empty. I can't build this road. Now Guru Maharaj gets very enthusiastic. Don't worry, there are oceans of tears arrested in your heart. You only need to learn to direct them to the right course. Then they become released. But before a downpour, there's a flash of lightning. Similarly, there has to be a divine revelation. Radha and Krishna can appear to you when you come to a kirtan and sing with your heart. Then the water gushes forth, sweet tears of longing for the Lord whom you once gave up. Hare Krishna. In this holy name retreat, it is really only two sessions, but it is something. We want to learn to do a little spiritual archaeology and come to make up to, you know, the things that matter most in our spiritual life. There are three things which are the goal of our spiritual life. It is to come in the presence of Krishna, to serve them in a pleasing way, and to develop a deep relationship. These are needs which we have. But alas, most of us are so distracted, even in Krishna consciousness. I know some who are busy in building their own career, their own name and fame. I know some of us are engaged in trying to find a comfortable place in this world with enough relationship, eating, and so on. When do we sit down and think about the essential need, which when it is satisfied, leaves no other need unsatisfied? When we feel Krishna Damayanti, no other need will pressure our mind, no other need. We will become totally satisfied and thinking, there's no problem. I'm at least coming closer to Krishna. I feel good. But we are foolishly crying our tears for other things. We are foolishly involved in Maya, even in Krishna consciousness. Don't think you become free from Maya when you join a movement. You have to join the lovers of God, then you become free from Maya. Prabhupada wrote about this, how our material consciousness is such a problem for us. It says, this material consciousness is like a chain around the neck of the conditioned soul. As long as he is bound to that conception, no, via the body and all that, he cannot get out of Maya's clutches. However, if by Krishna's mercy he gets in touch with a bona fide spiritual master, abides by his order, and serves him, engaging other conditioned souls in the Lord's service, he then attains liberation and the Lord's shelter. We have an invisible chain. No one can see that. It's not a nice chain like this one, or like a garland. It's our mental conceptions that bind us. And I always like to tell at the beginning of my holy name retreats the story of that circus in India, where a fire broke out, and as a result, you know, the animals started to panic that they all somehow broke out of their cages. They only found the skeleton of the burnt skeleton of an elephant. So the insurance company was wanting to know, why did the most powerful elephant not break out? The panther could get out, lion, tiger, pelicans. What else do they have in a circus? Maybe they don't have a pelican, but you know, whatever is there. Upon close investigation, Uddhava, you have a rational mind, they found out that the elephant had been bound by a flimsy tiny robot. I don't have anything like this here to show you, to a little plastic pole. He could have done only this and he would be free, but he could not escape and burned to death. Why? Well, the elephant was a baby, like this. Hunters separated it from the herd and captured it. Then they took it to the camp and bound it with an iron chain to a tree. When the young elephant baby heard the call of his mother in the jungle, this means come. It was trying to free its leg, but the chain just dug into its tender flesh and the wound became filled with pus. It was very dangerous for its survival. For 2 weeks it was lying next to the tree, trying to get up and flee, but he couldn't. After 2 weeks, the hunters could take the chain away. The elephant baby had been broken. It thought, it's not possible for me to become free. And it walked without any chain in the camp. The iron chain had come into the mind. And there it was, stronger than any iron chain. My dear devotees, Maya has also come in our mind. Illusions have come in our mind. He is our Braj Bihari, the highly intellectual doctor, right, who writes about civilizations, you know, the clash of civilizations, how they were motivated, the monuments which civilizations erected, which told who is the hero, and who also, the monuments tell all the stories that no one talks about, because it's a selective choice. This is a hero. She knows about what is going on in the mind of not only contemporary men, but also ancient civilizations. You can ask, you will get educated, informed answers. It is all an iron chain. The chain of Maya, which holds the eternal soul bound, and then we are not with Krishna. Now Krishna, my dear devotees, sees our helplessness, especially in this age. We know at the beginning of the age of Kali, Krishna did leave this planet Earth, but he left behind him one thing. Do you know? Srimad Bhagavatam. You have studied this, yes. In the Bhagavatam we can know about him. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, and when he left, he understood Bhagavatam is not enough. I need to leave something else behind. He spoke, untypical for him, 8 verses, the Shikshastakam. And the first verse is like a torchlight that lights up a deep secret that has been overlooked by the conditioned soul. Glory, param vijayate, to the sankirtan of the holy name, because it is this chanting of the holy name, Lord Chaitanya said, which cleanses the illusions from the mirror of the mind. It extinguishes this misery which has led to the ocean of tears, no? It extinguished the miseries. It ultimately gives you a full bath in transcendental realization. What does this mean? It means you meet Krishna face to face. Isn't that wonderful? That is his final words. When he said with Ramananda Roy and Swarup Damodar Gosai in that Gambira, he was talking about Param Vijayate, let there be supreme vision, victory, I'm sorry, for the chanting of the holy name. But the chanting of the holy name, this is my contention with the Hare Krishna Hare Ramas, or the International Society for the attempt to become Krishna conscious. We are not yet Krishna conscious. You need to know how to chant it. These are teachings that are supposed to be taught in an intimate circle between devotees. You need to know how to chant. I want to request you now to turn to your neighbor, and I would like you to discuss with your neighbor one question. I will tell you the question once you found your neighbor. Everyone should please participate, also those of us who are not used to think deeply in the morning. You will have to find first of all the neighbor, and then I will tell you what to discuss. So let us see who has found, who has not yet found a neighbor. Please watch your the hands going up, then you will know who's still alone. There's someone alone. Deepak never takes part in these exercises. So here he is a lonely man. He needs some. You can also join a group of three. It's highly important that you... Damayanti, who's your neighbor? In this part. Yes, good. Rati Manjari, who's your neighbor? This, yes, so far away you sit from your neighbor? No problem, yes. I want to make sure that everyone participates, no? My dear devotees, I know we don't do these things but it will be important, otherwise you can't follow. You need to first of all open up on the subject. First, Kavi, who's your neighbor? Good. Radhika Raji. What have you learned so far? When does the chanting work for you? An answer could be, it works for me when I'm not so tired. That perhaps you have learned that. But is there something more than these obvious things? When, under which circumstances does the chanting work for you? I know you have to think a little bit, but you will enjoy it. Even if a little sweat comes on your brow, it is desired. You know, it is not undesired. I need to make sure that you are engaging with the subject. Start. So who of you is partner A? Yeah. Knows already. Who of you is partner B then? Okay, partner B goes first. You are laughing at me now. No, because we need to, you know, dig a little. Yes, partner B. So, the question again. what have you learned so far? When does the chanting of the holy name work for you? Either in kirtan or in japa. No, no, we won't this. When do we have good experiences? Ananda says, okay, I'm going to do this, yes. Okay, let's start. You have 5 minutes, not a lot. What have you learned? This is the question in your life. No vague answers or no hyperboles, you know, exaggerations. Real learning. Where are you? What do you know about this? Go. You're talking about what you have learned, no? You can also say when it does not work, what you have learned. What do you need to, where are you with your Hare Krishna. May I know, have you already changed partners? Has the other partner also got an opportunity to say yes? Not yet. Not yet. So maybe we change partners now and we go two more minutes. Yes, and round up. Even if you have already changed, you. The question really is, what do I know? Not what I have dream of, or what the person in the lecture said. What do I know? No?
I thought you could talk for 100 years about this. not so much at the moment. Try to dig a little bit deeper. What do you really know when you get up? We need to have brothers. I asked this question to myself every morning. What do I do now? What? Like this morning, I got up a little late. Okay. What do I do now? I sing kirtan first. I sing in the bathroom, my kirtan, to prepare my mind with some good vibrations. Different things that you should have about, I would say, 10 different things minimum which you do, which help you.
Or something like that. Yes, Hare Krishna. Krishna. If you asked me, Satchinanda Swami, what do you know? When does it work for you? I have one principle answer which I practice in according to time, place and circumstances. In other words, sometimes I do this, sometimes when I'm in a different time, in a different circumstances, I do that. But what is always the same, what I really know for myself is I need to enter into a relationship with Krishna through the chanting. I learned this the hard way. Devotees asked me to chant kirtan, lead them in kirtan often. My musical skills are not very developed. Well, I learned to play violin and some little of acoustic guitar, but I quickly found out that I have so much music in myself, but I lack the skills to put them into an instrument. Just like I also don't know how to drive a car. I lack the skill to transport my knowledge or my what I have inside often into the world. Therefore, I'm also not always very satisfied with my lectures. There's so much inside but the words are not, I don't find words which transport all the depths of thoughts and emotions and so on. It is a handicap. Handicap is maybe not the right word. It's a character, it's the way a human design, I'm designed in a certain way. I understood I need to somehow communicate with Krishna. I was once in Mayapur when the Kirtan Mela started to catch on in India also. I was requested to do a kirtan, and it was a hot time of the day. Not an ideal slot, I would say. It was around 3 o'clock, that is after the devotees had taken their lunch. It's called the graveyard shift. Everyone is digesting. Puris, Malpuris, Prakoras and Halava, and all this rich food which we take in our movement. The kirtan was, by all standards, dead. There was no one sang, really. They were tired, unwilling to sing. They had sung already so much in the morning. There was no devotion in the atmosphere. And I almost told my audience, Prabhupada, if you don't chant better, I suggest we all lay down here in the temple floor and I will lead you into something else, into sleeping. I also feel tired, but this is Kirtan Mela. We have to glorify the Lord. The altar is open, you know, and so on. Do we want to leave it like this? And of course, when I say things in my strong way, you know, somehow, because I don't speak English so well, people don't take offense when I speak strong. But we could not get on a green twig. And I tried different things to please the crowd, to develop a mood, to find a melody that was willing, sometimes fast, it didn't work, slow, it didn't work. This extremely emotional melody didn't work. Nothing worked. All my tricks, my internal tricks were over. Then I remembered Prabhupada's instruction to kirtan leaders. Now, who of you leads sometimes kirtans, may I ask? Many of us, no? So Prabhupada has given instructions. Kalindi is getting ready to type. You can photograph this if you are interested, Kalindi, for my book. I have to just find it here. Yeah, here, it's here. Page 56. Your business as a kirtan leader is not to satisfy the crowd. I was trying to. Your business is to satisfy Krishna, and then the crowd will be automatically satisfied. We are not going to please the crowd. We are going to give them Krishna. So you should be very much careful whether you are delivering Krishna in the right way. Then they'll be satisfied. Your only business should be to satisfy Krishna. I had yesterday a discussion with a very talented and skilled kirtan leader, and he said this to me. He said, yes, I have seen, I want to really deliver Krishna to the audience. I want to satisfy Krishna, not my own needs for recognition perhaps or something else. So I remember, I did not know the exact quote. I had seen it somewhere, some somewhere. But I remembered the essence of the quote. Your business is not to satisfy the crowd, but to satisfy...
Krishna.
Oh, you know everything. I remembered that at that time. And I thought, okay, how do I do this now? And here it's a hot climate. There's a Bengali Vedanga player who always wants to speed up. So what do we do here? How do we satisfy Krishna? And I remembered how Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, how you can enter a connection with Krishna. And I will show this to you in exactly 7 minutes. Or 7.5. But I at that time I just turned to the deities. I said, this is my only kirtan slot today. Everyone has high expectations. They know that I'm a little older in Krishna consciousness. I'm not just a few months in the movement. So they think this should be a nice kirtan. I remember I had at that time not my kirtan person. Gaur Krishna always advises me what, how to find melody, how high, and so on. I had just someone who was very new to my melodies, and I said to him, just Prabhu, I'm going to change the melody. Just try to catch me if you can. I can't guarantee if I get the right. But I want to sing now for Krishna. And I know one melody which I have learned when I was all alone on an island by myself. I mean, the devotees were in another house, but I was alone in that house. And I had sung that melody for Krishna. And I had sung for a few hours, just this melody for Krishna's pleasure. And I will try to go back to that moment where I actually sang without an audience, without anything else, anyone else than Krishna being there. And I somehow couldn't find the melody in the beginning, but I tried, so finally I had it, and I had forgotten the audience, and I sang and sang and sang, and then someone said, Maharaj, you are already half an hour over time. Next one has said, he is also there. And I said, sorry, and I did not. I excused myself later by this Prabhu, who was very kind to me. Said, I am good that you had a good moment in your kirtan. Singing for Krishna is possible when you make a relationship with Krishna. Perhaps now our relationship is more with this iron chain to the material world, where we are very much thinking about material things, what we have to do, what we want to do, what is our problem at the moment, how we intend to solve our problem, health problems or otherwise. We are very much chained to that which is only there for a few days, body and mind, or mind content, you know, and we want to now enter into sambandha, which means a chain, and bandha means bound to Krishna. We want to cut the old iron chain, rusty iron chain, and we wish to become totally bound to Krishna. Sam means totally, like in Sankirtan, no, total kirtan, and sambandha, bandha means bound, so we want to enter the relationship with Krishna. And the devotees afterwards came to me and said, Maharaj, we never were in such a wonderful kirtan. I said, do you mean this? Is this a statement from a Londoner? Or is it a real statement? I need to know. No, they were intimidated by my question. But apparently there was some good blessings at that time for that kirtan, some response. In Krishna consciousness there is this law. Krishna, my dear devotees, is so much, reacting to how you are, how you approach him. How you approach him. There's a famous statement by John Wick. I don't know if you know John Wick. I know him peripherally. He said, "Don't confuse myself with my attitude. Myself, I'm always how I am. My attitude is towards you, how you act towards me." No? It's a nice statement. Don't confuse me with myself. Don't confuse myself with my attitude, how I deal with others. So Krishna is the Lord of this. He says, "Yeya tamam prapadyante." In the way you approach me, in that way I respond to you. Like John Wick, he is a kind person to kind people. No, his dog and his wife, I think he is very affectionately related. But when someone wants to kill him, he says, "I kill them all, whoever comes." And you know, he's John Wick. You know, a fantasy personality. But this Krishna, I mean, maybe the example is, you are not laughing, so it didn't make a good joke. Krishna is always who he is, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, engaged in his Leela. But his attitude towards you is absolutely dependent how you approach him. When you approach him nicely, when you approach him with devotion, when you want to please him, all of a sudden he's there. If you don't do this, he's not there. It is a dead japa and a dead kirtan. It's a very, very, my example was not very good. I apologize for those of you who do not know John Wick. It is not an important person. He's a fantasy person, he's not a real person. Film, Hollywood style person. But Krishna responds in the way you approach him. And he is unfailing in this. He's not a human being who's not doing it, who's failing. There will be a time when the fantasy hero, it will also not be able to do what he needs to do. You know, Krishna always is able to take care of his devotees. His quality, my dear devotees, for which he is praised the most, he has many qualities, but the most quality, the quality is Bhaktavatsala. He is the friend of his devotee. That one quality, it refers to devotees in the eternal Goloka Vrindavan, but it also refers to devotees in this world. Even Gajendra, you know, he was an elephant. He turned to the Lord in prayer and the Lord came immediately to his rescue. Do you remember? He prayed when he was under attack. And then the Lord, the kind Lord, came and took care of him in two ways. He conquered the crocodile who wanted to pull Gajendra into the deep sea, deep lake, and kill him. And Krishna also took away the ignorance from Gajendra so that he became an enlightened soul. Very important. Gajendra Moksha is always told in Bhagavad Gathas because it gives us hope that Krishna will come to to our rescue also, in two ways. He will take away our external difficulties from which we suffer and our internal difficulties. He's unfailing. His name is Achyuta in this. He's doing it really very nicely. So would you like to know Bhaktivinoda Thakur's methodology, how to turn to Krishna? It's really beautiful. I also can't wait any longer. This were 6 minutes. I tell you in so many minutes. Are you ready? Are you perhaps a little tired? Some tired? Should we maybe have just 2 minutes stretching? Let us do. No, just so that we can really appreciate. Krishna Chaitanya Maharaj, he did this in the Shinga Chaturdasi. You see? I will teach you a very simple way of stretching. It's the most simple one I know. So, bring your hands like this. You will not believe how effective it is. Archie? Like this. Dobro. Then on, watch me first. On an inhale, you do this movement. It's not the right place. Yeah, but there's Dutch tulips are there. No problem. So that you can see. This will invigorate you entirely. It will get prana into your body. Prana, we have discussed this morning how important it is. And it will provide a good stretch. You will first have to see it because it's a little... so you can go, if you are advanced, if it's simple, want to make it simple, you go like this. You breathe in. No, just watch. Because the later part is a little complex. So you breathe in. First you breathe out, just empty yourself totally. On the toes, and then when you can't hold it any longer, you go. And you should smile. They're very important. So I do it one more time. Like an opening, it's an opening of the lotus. And then the last. Oops. It's a balance exercise. And then. And smile, very important. Even if you look foolish, smile. Okay, ready? Full exhale. Inhale. On your toes. Stretch. Very good. The last person there is not smiling. That is not the exercise. Exercise has been there. Yes, now you're smiling. Thank you, Prabhu. We do this now. 1,000 times. Udava, what is happening? It's good for you. On your toes, yes? We do this for 3 more times. That is enough. You have to really stretch to the ceiling. It's good for your liver, for your kidneys. Are you smiling, Ajit? Okay. Full exhale. And last time now. Thank you. Thank you, Uddhava. I know we don't do this often. Hare Krishna. Can you feel some difference? Good. I could tell you also the dragon breath, but that is a little complicated. What we will do is, we will learn a very simple method from, it comes from Bhaktivinoda Thakur's commentary on Harinam Chintamani. Who of you has knows about this work? Oh, that's a good dhamma. Yes, Harinam Chintamani. It is a very nice the book is very interesting. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that he went all over India, or Bengal, to find people who had met Haridas Thakur and collected the teachings which Haridas Thakur had given in this one book and made a discussion between who? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Haridas Thakur. So you will find a lot of teachings from old manuscripts which Bhaktivinoda Thakur worked into the conversation. It's a literary device, and it is also, some say it is more than a literary device. This discussion took place as it is. So. Yes, this is a very enriching book. And there, Haridas Thakur makes a point. He says, when we chant the holy name, there are actually two ways of chanting. There is real chanting and there is shadow chanting. Shadow. The shadow, we all know, is not the real substance. I always like to say it, like, imagine if Nilambara said, the meal was late, but now I just found out we are serving pizza, but there is only one piece for everyone. However, I am a rational thinking person. I would put a lamp on the pizza and then create a shadow. And you can all eat the shadow. The shadow will always be there. We can, thousands of people can approach the shadow. It will not diminish. This is how we have solved this prasadam problem. Imagine. So we would not be able to get nourishment from a shadow. And we would say, Nilambara, this doesn't work with me. I need real, not shadow. So in spiritual life, you need to be careful that you are not engaging the shadows with concepts only, which are representing the real thing. You have to come out from the world of concepts of Krishna consciousness to the real experience of Krishna consciousness. And there is a very, very wonderful thing. See, most of us think in relation. relationally. If you're married, for instance, you think I'm married to this person, or you think in relationship to your parents, I'm a son or daughter of the parents. We think in relationship, for instance, I think in relationship to you. I'm trying to now give you a wonderful, very deep exercise in Krishna, which I think will bring you to your next level and will satisfy your heart, which will be very useful. So I'm thinking I'm the speaker and you're the audience at this moment. I'm thinking also a little bit in relationship to my coat. I've noted it's not warm enough for America, but it will have to do for America. I'm thinking in relationship to various relationships. If you want spiritual, your Krishna consciousness, you have to learn to think in relationship to Krishna. And here is a very nice method. You first start with yourself. Who are you? Then you think about Krishna. Who is Krishna? And then you think about how you can establish a relationship. It will be very simple. I will do this now with you. I want to request you to sit down now. You're sitting already, but to sit straight. Find a comfortable... are you comfortable on the floor, all of you? I think, Deepak, you are comfortable at this moment, yes? These are good chairs, yes? They serve you well. Yes, please do. But I'm hoping you will not fall down from the high chairs, because we will meditate in a moment, so you have to remain absolutely alert. We will do a very quick, it's called a centering exercise. But I will just do it really fast. I request you to look around in the room. Soon I will request you to close your eyes, so it's always very comforting to know the space in which we are, in a kind of self-induced darkness, no? When we are. I request you to now become aware where you're sitting. You're sitting on your sitting bones, all of you. You can see no one is lying. Make a quick body scan. Your feet, start with your feet. I sense some of you can't even sense your feet because you're not very connected. So wiggle your toes, move your toes. That's where you feel something, that's where your feet are now. Okay. When you're ready, close your eyes and move your awareness to your knees. If it's too difficult, touch your knees, then you know that's where your knees are. You can actually rest your hands on your thighs, they're called. Move to your thighs, to the place where you're sitting. We call them sitting bones. And relax your lower part of the body. Move up your spine, the back of your back, no? First the lower back, in your upper body. It's the upper back. Relax. You need to relax your shoulders now. There's a lot of tension. Your chest and your belly, relax. Relax your arms, the back of your neck, your head. Hear that there are 33,000 muscles in the face which we move in order to look like we are supposed to look. Now relax them. Eyes and arms. Eyes and mouth. Now go to your breathing. Yourself whenever you inhale, slow. While you will remain incredibly awake, alert, aware, whenever you breathe in, slow. Slow and long. And then whenever the time comes for you to exhale, tell yourself deep. Excellent. When you feel centered and calm, focused, envision in your mind's eye these truths. I'm actually an atomic particle of consciousness. I'm very small. And Krishna's eternal servant. Tell yourself, I'm categorically, existentially different from the body and mind. I'm a tiny soul. And I'm an eternal, blissful, spiritual being. I'm part of Krishna. I belong to Krishna. Next, bring your mind to the next truth. Krishna is the infinite, unlimited, conscious entity, and he is my only true master. For so long I might have invested in so many other relationships. Some worked fine, others were places of improvement and learning. Now I turn to Krishna as my only eternal and true friend. And finally, the third truth. The material world is a house of correction, a place where I'm meant to learn. I'm meant to learn to be again present in my relationship to Krishna. this I have not done so good, and I have been in this world for a long time, but now I'm turning to Krishna entirely through singing his holy name. Again I start. Starting point is me. I'm a soul. I'm turning to Krishna. This is the best use of my time to address Krishna with some sense of a relationship between us.
Faith that he exists,
or if we have managed to remain an atheist so far? Is he perhaps the deep unknown? Most of us are devotees. Remember moments where you felt close to Krishna. Bring back these moments in your memory. Perhaps on pilgrimage in Vrindavan. Perhaps in your young days when you were full of spiritual enthusiasm. Try to connect with Krishna. Please express this now in your singing. Sing to him. Please sing now.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Little time. Hare Krishna. There is a verse in the Bhagavatam which I request you to take notice of at the end of this first session. Bhakti parishanu bhavo viraktiya anyatra chaisya eka. You will find it in the 11th canto, it's an important verse, second chapter, most properly verse 42. Maybe one of you who knows Google can see Bhakti Parishanu Bhavo and can give the direct reference. So this verse relates a very important principle of bhakti to us. We found it. It's
11.2.42.
Yeah, 11.2.42. So you can please note down this verse. It's a very important verse for you. 11.2.42. And read it. In this verse it says, actually, Radhikaranjan, if you give me your machine, I can just say it literally. Mm-hmm. Devotion, direct experience of the Lord, and detachment from other things. These three occur simultaneously for one who has taken shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the same way that pleasure, nourishment and relief from hunger come simultaneously and increasingly with each bite for a person engaged in eating. Let us unpack this verse. It says, say someone sits down and eats a meal. He's hungry and he will feel first some pleasure. Oh, finally. Finally. Prashadam. Oh, if I'm honest, I'm here because prashadam is an important factor in my morning. I have not eaten anything in the morning. So pleasure. Wow. Then some nourishment. Oh, it's satisfaction, and finally you will feel the relief from hunger, and it will happen more and more and more. So this experience every one of us has made. We will make it in 45 minutes, you know. Check it, you know, if you feel some pleasure, nourishment and relief from hunger. So this verse says the same thing happens when you take shelter at Krishna's lotus feet. There is first of all the pleasure of devotion. We have a movie, The Joy of Devotion. No, this movie is there. You will feel some devotion. I could see some of you were starting when you were really focusing, trying your best, and after some time, towards the end, you were no longer. You should feel some devotion, you know. It shouldn't be like the most heavy punishment in the universe. You know, some of you look so conflicted when you chant. But no, it should be some pleasure of devotion. No. Then, listen to this, my dear devotees. There will be a direct experience of Krishna. When you chant and you are taking shelter of Krishna. What was that in Sanskrit, that word? With S? Sharanagati, yes, but more the relationship part. Sambandha, you know already everything. Yes, Sambandha. If you take shelter of Krishna, that's Sharanagati, but you have some sambandha, some relation. Oh Krishna, please accept me. No? Then you will have some experience. it happened to me. I was, you know, doing this exercise. And I said, oh God, I have no, I'm telling everyone they should now think of Krishna as the unlimited Lord. I have no image of Krishna in my mind. Nothing is there. And then, something came. It was an early ISKCON painting, which I liked very much. It has a history, that painting, which has some humor in it, but I won't. Later I can tell. I want to be with the point here. So I saw this picture of Krishna, and the eyes were really wonderful. I felt he was looking at me. So there was some type of experience. And finally, there is some relief from this hunger, this our material attachments, which we perhaps wish they are not there. But it is there. And sometimes we feel, oh, I wish I wouldn't have all these interests. I don't know if some of you feel like this. I feel like this. I'm very interested in it sometimes. Yeah, I wish I wouldn't have to go. I'm connecting it with Krishna. I'm learning the art of Yukta Vairagya. Yes, this should happen. We are an experience-oriented movement. There should be an experience of Krishna. And oh, Maharaj, that's Sahajiya. Don't talk like this. No, seriously. You are Sahajiya and you don't take the scripture serious. That's what it means. This is... Okay, what are those experiences of Krishna? What was my experience, which I just had? It was not the perfected perspective of the fully developed bhakti experience. I'm not yet there. But it was some experience. In Haridas Thakur's teachings we find, when you chant full of offenses, then there is not much. But when you chant even with trying to avoid the offenses, what is the stage called when we try to work on our offensive mind? Navabhasa. The word abhasa means there is some reflection. The Haridas Thakur explains it, when the sun in the morning is about to rise, you see some light in the eastern horizon. Not yet the sun, but some light. Try, you know, get a compass and you will see. I saw this morning some light. I have a window facing to the east. I looked. Some light. The sun is not yet there. No. But something of the sun is there. This is what the experience of which is available for you. Something of Krishna should be there. Filtered. But something which is even better than all the things the world can give you. And the world can also not take this away from you any longer. This is our process. Professor Google? No, I'm saying it's on Google. This is Veda base. It is not authority. Yes, well. I know it's not a good joke because it's taken from a real book, you know, and it's just put it there. I just have not such a good relationship with these things. My problem. So that experience is there. And in Kirtan, you take many bites. First mantra, first bite. Second mantra, second bite. Third mantra, third bite. So with increasingly, with each bite, you take many mouthfuls of holy names, no? You will feel pleasure in your heart, nourishment, and relief from hunger. If you don't feel it, my dear devotees, don't panic. Go back to the blocks of your chanting. There are some aparadas, 10 offenses. See where you might be doing them, you know, identify them, and then care for your chanting, you know, clean your act a little, you know, and then you will feel it. And remove the blocks when you don't feel it, but you can, this is an experience-oriented thing. That's how we are dealt with in the academic circles. They say this Hare Krishna movement is all about experience. It uses the senses. You know, we sing and we hear, and then the devotees get up, and they, academics say, they begin to dance. It's all about an experience. Norvin Hine, a very famous academic, you have read something of Norvin Hine? Yes, you know. He says, he describes, he goes on a visit to a kirtan and he says, then the cymbals come in time and the chanting gets louder. Someone dances and swirls around. And then he ends his observation, the divine presence has been felt. Experience. So this is the wonderful thing, but you must do it correctly. Today we learned one thing. What was it? In one word? Sambandha, relationship. You somehow establish a relationship. How do you do that? Where do you start? With yourself. I'm a soul separated from Krishna. Then next, you try to see that. If it is too difficult, chant before the deity of Krishna. That's why Prabhupada said when there were difficulties, we should go before the deities and chant before the deities. No? Or a picture of Krishna. I have a beautiful picture of Krishna which I chant always before when I'm traveling. It's one picture, it's also there in the beautiful apartment where I stay. And then convince yourself, this is the purpose, this is my chance in this life. I'm not doing something unimportant, I'm doing the most important thing now. The purpose of this world, how Bhaktivinoda Thakur expresses it like this, the material world is a house of correction. Actually, the translation is a prison house, but I thought, a house of correction is the same thing, but it gives the idea that you can do something of value in there. This material world is a house of correction meant to reform my tendency to remain absent in our relationship. You're part of God. Oh, you're eternal. You are full of bliss. It's a scandal if you don't feel this. Something which needs to be brought out in the Dutch TV, you know. It's such a momentous news. Hare Krishna. Good. So, this was the first part. If you forget everything, which you will, because you are Hare Krishnas. Why do you laugh? This is sad. This is sad thing. It is about relationship. No? Relationship with Krishna. It starts with R. What was the second? I've already forgotten. E, like Emil. Ri. L, like la 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 la, and then you have a relationship. So you have to somehow program your mind that it can remember. I'm sorry, I'm I'm just trying to express the importance of this. So, in North Germany, when we love someone, we talk a little strong. Also in Dutch, I know. So, trying to. In this, we will end here. We will sing a little kirtan. I will request Gaur Krishna to sing. Is it possible? I'm from the yes. And for half an hour, that's the treatment. And what will we do in that kirtan? Will we chant absent-minded or present-minded? It's good to try to do these three steps. You know, I'm here. I'm da da da. Of course, I'm most probably like most of you. I'm not a systematic person, but try to be there in the kirtan. No? Try to be present in whatever way helps you. I really think this thing about sambandha is a key point. There is a verse about it, which I will tell you in the second session. In the second session, we will learn to work a little bit with our body, with our mind, and with our heart in our chanting. And also very, very nice. Good. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Hare Krishna.